It's amazing seeing when people like they find that piece, like that's it. That's the one I love. You know, that you're, you know, I love that. Like it, that's the part that has me hooked on it.
My name's Johnny Reinhardt, and I've lived in Southwest Michigan most of my life. It's such a wonderful community full of so many great things, but the best part is the people, families, history, and especially the stories that make it great. And with every story, you have to start somewhere. This is Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Welcome to Episode 5, and today I'm talking with Artie Faltersack, who you may also know as the Chainsaw Carver. You see him all around Southwest Michigan, maybe not him specifically doing the actual work, but you probably see some of his works of art, or you may see it and not know that he's the guy behind it. Well, we're going to learn a little bit more about Artie, the artwork that he has been creating, how long he's been doing it, and how he almost never even started doing it because of something he was afraid of. So we'll talk about that and a whole bunch more. But first, let's start from the beginning with Artie Faltersack. All right, Artie, I'm really excited to talk to you because you do something that I don't think I could ever do. I've seen you all over the news, all over the community doing something really cool. And that is transforming tree stumps and trees into beautiful works of art. How did you get into something like this?
Well, it started with Netflix. There's a show on there called Carving Kings. And there were some guys up in Canada who were carving. It's like, man, that looks like fun. But at that point, I had never used a chainsaw. I was actually scared of them because when I was a kid, my mom, she worked at a factory and she lost half of two of her fingers. And then my dad, he got hurt when he was working at a tree service deal. He got his hand cut. So I was actually scared of chainsaws for a long time.
Wow. So, all right. So when was the first time you picked up a chainsaw?
June of 2018.
So not too long ago.
No.
See, I was thinking, this is something that you and your parents, you had trees that you were cutting down all the time. And then you realized, hey, I could do something with this. So, did you use other tools before? Have you been a sculptor in the past? How did you realize that, hey, I can do something really amazing by using a chainsaw?
Like I whittled on sticks and stuff as a kid, you know, and cut myself numerous times doing it. I feel safer with a chainsaw than I do with a knife.
And so how did you realize that once you picked up that chainsaw just a few years ago that you can do more than just what most people can do, and that's, you know, chop wood and trim down trees. You can actually use it as a tool to make something cool.
Well, I saw the one neighbor, like he saw the owl I made for my mom, because my great great uncle Abe, he was a hand, like he did everything by hand from what I understand. I never met him, you know, but it was just one of those things like you see in the community, like all over people's houses, they have little owls and stuff that he made. And my mom, she's just always loved his owls. So I tried making her one. And then like the look on my neighbor's face, like, oh, look at, like, he wanted that owl, you know, and it's just like, I didn't feel like I was that good. But then it's like, you know, maybe I can do something. But it's that look in people's faces. Like it's amazing, like where they connect with something.
Yeah, absolutely. And you realize that fear that you had with a chainsaw, how do you overcome that fear?
Really, it was just understanding how the tool works. Every tool has its own limitations. Like you shouldn't use a wrench for a hammer, you know, don't misuse things in that. But yeah, it was a lot of safety videos. Then like for me, hearing protection, eye protection, and chaps, like those are, you know. And then too, like you stop when if you're physically exhausted or mentally exhausted, like either one of those two, you need to stop. Like, you know, safety. Yeah. Cause I plan on keeping all my, you know, appendages and all that. So,
Yeah, you don't want to get to a point where you're sculpting with one arm and one eye. It's not yeah. going to be fun. And
I'd still do it though. that's the one bright side is like if I did. I mean, God forbid I lose a leg, but man, I would have one epic peg leg. You know, I'd carve something awesome. It'd be like a little squirrel in there or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like you would have the best pirate's wooden leg. It wouldn't just be the regular looks like a table leg. This would be something, a work of art.
And
then I'd
probably get my name legally changed, throw a few more R's in there, and I'd be, like, that's how they have to say it, you know?
Absolutely. So you overcame that fear. So tell me about this moment when you first said, all right, you look at something and you do, everybody does this with the fears that they have, and to try and overcome the fear. Some people just, if they're fearful of something, whether it's heights or swimming or heights, that's something you either overcome and you try to attack it, or you just stay away from it completely and never do it. And then that's something you never experienced. Did you ever think that, okay, I have this fear of chainsaws. Family members of mine have had accidents with just machinery. I should just stay away and just stick to something I know. Did you ever think about doing that?
I did, but you know, to me, it's like, you know, you could live with that fear or you can overcome it. Like, you know, like, overcoming it, I feel is it. A lot of what I do, it's wrestling with yourself. Yeah. You know, it's your own. Even when you make something beautiful, you have your own self doubt and that about the project. You have your own criticism about it. You're your own worst critic on it. Mm-hmm. You know, but it all started with like, man, that looks like fun. Yeah. And then now it's just like I wouldn't trade this for anything.
Yeah, you see all these different, especially shows like what was that show called? You said.
It was called Carving Kings.
Carving Kings. Yeah. And you see the other ones where they're working with metal and they're all those different shows. And you look at that and you're like, man, that looks pretty cool. I feel like I could do that. But you're actually doing it. I mean, and you are making really cool works of art. So you said you made an owl for your mom or your grandma.
My mom.
Your mom. And so when you were even trying to do that, were you just hoping you get something out of it? Like you hope you have this picture, because most artists, you have this picture in your head, and everybody has a picture in their head of what they want it to look like, but not so many people can actually make that actually come about in the end. So were you hoping that it like just resembled an owl in some way when you got done with it?
Oh yeah. Cause like when you first start going it, cause you have that picture in your head and things rarely turn out exactly how you picture it. And it becomes more of a dance. Like I view it as a dance because there's so many defects in the wood that you don't know. Like I've found nails, bullets, J hooks. I mean, all sorts of, you know, like you find stuff and then you'll have spots where it's just rotted, where it's just, you can't carve rot. Like I'm not that skilled.
Right. But. Yeah. Then there's so many stories in a tree. If it's a tree that's been, like you said, if it's in your front yard or your family, you kind of know, if you've lived there for a while, you kind of know the story of the tree, but you find so many mysterious things, but you also find, all the different the lifespan of that tree. So you did that, you did the owl, and then you said, you know, your neighbors said, oh man, that looks like an owl. That's actually really good. So where did you go from there? Did you just say, all right, now I realized I can actually do this. Where did you go then after that?
Well, see, at that point I was down in Texas because I had a house down there. And then my job had just folded up, you know, like I liked my job there. Like I'd probably still be there doing roll off dumpsters and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But then I promised my grandpa I'd come up here to Michigan to come see him. And I came up here. Then it's just like one thing led to another. And, you know, people kept keep me busy.
Yeah. And so how many sculptures of have you done and have you carved in just the past few years?
Oh, gosh. I couldn't. I mean, if I had to guess, I mean, it's at least probably in the thousand range, at least thousands. Because, like, to me, there's a quote by Andy Warhol that I really love. It's like, don't think about making art, just get it done. Whether people love it or hate it, while they're deciding, make even more art. And then to do in numbers what you lack in experience, because I can't compete with someone who's been carving for 20 years. I don't have that kind of experience. And that's okay. The only thing that they have that I don't is experience, you know? So I can do that. And that's how I feel. Like, there's people have so much doubt about themselves and their talents. Like, man, I can't do that. Like, man, everyone starts from the bottom. Everyone start, you know, every great artist has a time when they first picked up the paintbrush or first picked up a chainsaw or whatever it is. All you just got to keep going, keep making stuff.
Yeah. And whatever. Too, like,
I can't mathematically prove that one carving is better than the other. You know, it's subjective. You ask someone, what's the best truck? Ask five different guys, what's the best truck out there? And you'll hear five different answers, you know? And I can't, and I love that. When I make something, I get it finished. And then it's amazing seeing when people, like, they find that piece, like, that's it. That's the one I love, you know, that you're, you know, I love that. Like, that's the part that has me hooked on it.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely. And what about, like, types of wood? What is there a type of wood or type of tree that you prefer working with? Because obviously there's different ranges of hardwoods and all that. And maybe some have winding branches and all kinds of different things to them. So every stump or every tree is different. So do you like working with certain types of wood?
Generally, I like sticking with hardwoods. Oak, maple, Osage orange, cherry, even I like black walnut too. Black walnut's beautiful, but I'm actually allergic to it. So there's a little bit of insanity there. I got to be careful with the bark because, man, if I get too much stuff on my skin or my eyes or whatnot, I'm hurting.
Wow. So you have a fear of chainsaws and black walnut allergy, but you're still doing this stuff.
Yes. Yes. But see, it's a process, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't expect to start at the top with all the best carving tools and like there's some amazing stuff out there, you know, but it's a process. It's a slow, you know, of improving in skill and then accumulating tools and then learning how to get better with stuff. Because I feel like now if I were to start over, give me an angle grinder, a jaw horse and an MS-180, I can do a lot with just that.
Yeah. You know? And you're just doing this with just the typical regular old backyard chainsaw, right?
I got a little crew of chainsaws now. Cause you have like your big saws for blocking out, then your smaller saws where it's lighter. Cause working them big saws, it's nice removing the big hunks, chunks off of it. But then the smaller saws, you can do more details. But then you got like saber tooth bits and stuff. And if anyone decides they want to, like, they're listening to this and they're like, hey, I want to try chainsaw carving, please, please, please avoid those chainsaw discs. It goes on an angle grinder. It's a little chainsaw disc.
Right,
it's a
right.
wheel of doom. Don't do it.
Well, and like you said, is that you, it's a process, and the way you not only go about making the sculpture, but you have a lot of things that you're taking into account and keeping in mind, and safety is a number one thing that you're looking at. And then also it's almost good. Sometimes I think it's always good to have a fear of something and then using that fear and channeling it into a strength or confidence, but not overconfidence, but enough to actually take that and, you know, for you, it's the chainsaw that I'm sure there's still hesitation when you pull that string to start that up. You're not sure what's going to happen.
You gotta have a healthy fear of it. Like, you know, it's not to be scared or I can't touch it, but still know what it can do, you know? Cause I mean, when you see it removing wood, like how it does, I mean, it can, I don't want that to happen to my legs or anywhere or anyone really.
Yeah.
And then also, too, you got to take into account, like, the wood chunks and stuff. Like, sometimes man, I've gotten racked by chunks of wood where like worm chaps and that, like, oh, well, right. I'm going to take a little break here.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You have to know your own limitations with things and not go too crazy with it. Do you ever look at a piece or have something in your mind and then start to carve and start to work on something, and then maybe, like you said, something falls off or something doesn't happen? Do you go from having an owl or any sort of symbol or anything like that in your mind, and then it changes in the middle of the process?
It happens. I mean, that's what's literally happening with the Coloma stump right now, because like half of it is, oh my gosh, because like up top there was it was probably 16 inches or so around, and then, but it was probably like 1 inch, like all the way around 1 inch of just wood, and it's just dirt, and that dirt just kept going down and down, and just like, oh my gosh. So I lost like a good half of the thing. So it's going to completely change, like the design change, but I can't be upset about it, you know?
Right.
It's a dance, and that's the way I like to view it. You know, I approach it with an idea, then it's going to tell me how it's going to be. Because absolutely. I can't make the wood be something it's not, you know.
Yeah, even though it's trimmed down, it's still a kind of like it's a living thing. It's a moving something that has had a lifespan, and you're sort of breathing new life into something that's being cut down. Mm-hmm. And so, how do you go about? I mean, you're looking at, you know, you did one in your yard, and then now you're doing this in other people's other projects. Do you just drive around looking at because this is, you know, time of the year where right in my backyard, they had to remove two or three trees. Do you just drive around and look for the next project, or do they come to you?
People find me. Yeah, people find me, like, we're like, oh, you're a wood carver. Like, you know, can you do do this? I'm like,
yeah. That's awesome. And you work with, you also, I've seen you have, there's a local tree trimmer that he'll call you up every once in a while and say, hey, I got something for you, right?
Yeah. 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 When and when they ask him, like, hey, do you know anyone who carves or something? He's like, yeah, I know a guy, you know. And he tells them about me.
Yeah. And so do they come to you and say, all right, I want an eagle flying down to the water, picking up a fish or something like that? Or do you say, all right, what do you have in mind? And then you sort of say, this is what I think could come out of this.
Well, it comes with their ideas of things, like, and that to me is what it's all about. Like when they have a heart and a passion about something, like, oh, can you do, you know, then I'll find it or some variation of it in there, but I can't make the tree like, okay, you know, if it's, you know, 24 inches around, let's make the carving way bigger than what the stump actually is.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like the Miller monument, that one is a big black walnut one that took 6 weeks. But yeah, Betty, she's like a lot of wildlife, you know, and I don't know if you've seen pictures of it, but I can send you some.
I would love to see that. Yeah.
Oh gosh. That one was so big that I carved another tree inside the tree, and did a bear climbing up to get to a beehive, an owl out on a limb, an eagle up top, two foxes on the backside, a little raccoon, then there's a bench going across, and then there's like another bear on the end. Wow. And that, but like pieces like that, I mean, it was awesome doing, like, it was fun. And it being allergic to black walnut is an adventure, but yeah, you know, just keep rolling with it.
I think that's that again, like you said, is that accomplishment is not only when you look at it, you're like, wow, that turned out, as good or even better than what I had in my mind, but also the added layer of the, you know, that was a tough project, one that I feel great about because of the black walnut allergy that you have, that probably that process too was fulfilling in the end to see that end result.
Yeah.
So when you look at that stuff, and what do people say at the end of that project or any of the projects that you've done, what do they say to you, afterwards? Did they say, you know, this is amazing? What's the, response?
Honestly, sometimes you have, the ones where they don't really say much, but you can see it in their eyes and that, and then other ones where they're just, they can't stop talking, you know? But to me, there's a look in people's faces that's the part that has me hooked. Like, this is physically, mentally, and even emotionally draining at times, but yeah. I wouldn't trade it. Because, I mean, if you were to, I don't know, let's say you have an island, like this massive island, just put a mansion mm-hmm. on there. Let's throw every material possession you can ever dream of, you know? Yeah, sure, it'd be fun for maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe 6 months if you really hate people. But mm-hmm. after a while, you're going to find yourself lonely. You want people. You know, because stuff comes and goes. I mean, but people, that's the value in life. That's where it's at. It's in people, you know? Yeah,
absolutely. And do you ever get so overcome with emotions when you do something that you connect with that piece that maybe it's not, you know, a tree that's in someone's yard, but maybe it's you carve a stump. Do you ever think that I don't want to let this go? I need this for me.
Oh gosh. Well, cause I do sculptures like that aren't stumps as well.
Right.
And you know, there's this one I did. It was Scooby-Doo, you know, and man, I'm a grown adult and I love cartoons. So
same here.
Yeah, it was funny. It was funny though. It was like after Carver's like, man, this is, I really like this piece.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's one of those, so fulfilling, moments that you have, of doing something like that. You're currently working on, a project you mentioned in Coloma. What's going on with that? What's the, end process? What's it going to look like and how long is it going to take you?
Oh gosh. Well, the initial design I was thinking was, I was going to do a waving bear with, you know, like maybe like some little bear cubs and that, and then, yeah. you know, maybe like a cardinal or something up top. But the design is, I don't know, it might be just a bunch of little bears climbing the tree, just being mischievous, I'm thinking. That in the project will probably take me probably 2-3 weeks at least.
And this is something that, from a picture that I saw, this is in Coloma, but it's in an area where a bunch of people will be able to see this work of art, right?
Yeah.
So it's what, right down. I'm trying to remember exactly where it's at. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so how did that project come about? Is the tree trimmer company called you up and said, this is the one, this is what I got something for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And to me, what I like about doing carvings in areas where people will drive by and see is the, you know, like right here in Nickerson, I have like an Olaf, you know, I carved an Olaf, but like, to me, I'm thinking like, you know, things that uplift people. And it's hard. Cause I know, like, especially with COVID and everything, like mm-hmm. people have been just down and out. And I know I'm not special in that where, you know, I'm the only person to experience that. So it's like, let's uplift people, right. You know? And like with the Olaf, it's hard for adults to stay angry and, or, you know, upset or sad or, you know, yeah. when the kids are all excited, Olaf, you know, and that's what I like about carvings in areas like that. It's fun, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, it's that time where, you know, many people are feeling isolated and maybe a little down, but if they're getting outdoors and then maybe they're driving by, one of the sculptures that you've been able to make, puts a smile on their face for sure. And I'm sure it puts a smile on your face knowing that somebody sees that and maybe, you know, they tag you on Facebook or they see it around or somebody calls you and says, oh my gosh, the thing you did over there is just amazing.
Yeah. Well, like it was cool. Cause after I did the 13-foot soaring eagle at the Berrien County Youth Fair, my aunt, she saw someone who had, like, they changed her Facebook profile picture of them in front of the eagle, you know, and it's just like, I don't know, I thought that was pretty cool. Like, I, you know, something I made and put heart into it and, you know, I know it's kind of silly, but I don't know.
No, I think it's great because, I mean, if you get to the status of someone else's profile picture, especially if it's somebody you don't even know, that's a whole nother level.
Yeah, I guess.
So what would you say to somebody that has a fear of anything, whether it be a fear of heights or like you, a fear of chainsaws? What would you say to them when they're like, I'm just going to never do that again. I don't want to be around it. What would you say to them to maybe, think again?
Well, facing that fear it's worth it, overcoming it, you know, because a lot of times it's built up worse in your head than what it actually is, you know? Yeah. And then too, like, you don't know what talent or gift or ability that you have that you could be really good at. Yeah. I mean, you don't know until you try. And then too, another thing is not to beat yourself up or let yourself worry about what other people think about the project or what you're, you know, I mean, there's some people that will drag you down no matter what, and you gotta kind of let go of that, you know, let mm-hmm. go of all these other, just do it and be in the project or whatever it may be.
Yeah, if it's a fulfilling thing, something you love, don't let other people try to turn you away from something that you feel passionate about. And again, like you said, you picked this up just a few years ago. I mean, do you wish that you would have overcame that fear at a younger age?
Oh gosh, yes. I wish that, yeah, that would have been awesome, you know, but I have thought about that. It's like, man, I'd be so much further along in this talent and that, but then it's like, you know what? I started from here. I can't, you know, regretting holding on to all that stuff. I got to let all that go because all the narratives that you feed yourself, they're just going to weigh you down. Yeah. And to me, it's just like the more, I feel like it's, you water it with effort because I don't, necessarily time doesn't increase skill, it's effort, the heart, you know, mm-hmm. pouring that into mm-hmm. projects and learning from it. So I feel like every time I carve a bear or, you know, or an owl or just anything, I feel like every time I carve, I learn something, I pick something else new, you know, that I get to add to my arsenal of talent, you know, because you could take away all my carving tools right now and just give me a basic, cheap, you know, pull-in chainsaw and I can still mm-hmm. do something awesome with it. So like that building up skill set in yourself is that I find fulfilling.
What's your dream project? What's something that, you know, when you are done on this earth, what is something that you want to make the accomplishments you want to do before you go?
Man, there's so many things I want to make. So many things on. There's some things I don't know how to make yet.
Sure.
Like I would like to make a full life scale size Triceratops. Like I don't know how yet. I'm gonna figure it out. You know. But like to me, I don't want to just do bears. You know, or just one thing. I want to try all sorts of things. And you know, like this summer, I'd like to do like a 6 foot or 6 foot five. You know, really tall Darth Vader. Like just because I think that'd be awesome, you know. But carving isn't just animals. Like I love doing animals, but it can be, you know, other things. Like you know, our imagination is our only limitation with this, and to dream wildly and just go for it. And you know, and then too, you make with carving, you have happy accidents. That's mm-hmm. what I call. I have a little Bob Ross in my head. You know, oh, it's a happy accident. You know, a little overcut or something or. You know, but you just got to keep going, keep making stuff. And it's amazing seeing how it uplifts people. And mm-hmm. you don't know what piece uplifts people. Like, that's the thing that's fun is like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so cool. How do people follow what you're doing? You know, not just seeing the projects that they know you're doing right now. How do people sort of see the stuff that you've done, but also see what's next? And maybe if they want to contact you and you put a Darth Vader in their front yard. How do they contact you for that?
Yeah, you get a hold of me on my carving page on Facebook. It's facebook.com/artandsawdust, or if you just look up The Chainsaw Carver. I picked that name because, it, you know, because people forget, people are don't know, it seems like they have a hard time remembering names. So it's just like the chainsaw carver.
Yep.
You know,
what do you do? I'm a chainsaw carver.
Yeah, what's that guy? The chainsaw carver. There you go.
Simple and easy. Yeah.
Simple and easy. That knows kind of funny because you got like, you know, Kid Rock, Chris Rock, and The Rock. So, I mean, you have chainsaw carvers out there, and I'm going to be the chainsaw carver.
I like that.
I don't know. It's just something silly.
No, I love that that mindset, and I love the outlook on life you have, and then the overcoming your fears. All that stuff is just what makes you you, and what's amazing. We've been talking a lot about the carving and the stuff that you do. Is there something that something about you that, you know, people may not know, like either some of your close friends or just people when they see you, they may not know about you?
Oh gosh, people who know me know I'm pretty much a nerd. I, you know, Magic the Gathering. I enjoy playing, you know, card game, you know, cartoons and just being silly and that, you know.
Yeah. That's great. Well, Artie, I've had a wonderful time chatting with you, learning more about the cool things that you do with the carving. And I look forward to all the cool projects and things that you get to do. And you get to get outdoors and have some fun, which I'm sure you enjoy as well.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. It was great talking to you. And maybe we'll hear more in the future about the other things you have going on.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Special thanks to our guests for telling their stories. And if you have a story to tell, I'd love to hear more. Please reach out to me by emailing letstalk@wsjm.com. That's letstalk@wsjm.com. You can listen to this podcast and all the episodes wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. This is a Midwest Family production. I'm Johnny Reinhart. Join me next time for another great story on Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan.